It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Welcome to I Am the Cute One, the most chaotic school dance in the podcast universe.
Let's spike the punch, grind to usher, and talk about our favorite topic, ourselves.
Hello, I am Donnie, and I am the cute one.
And I am Chelsea, and I am the cute one.
Oh, you sound pretty good for being week two of Donnie Appreciation Week, Chelsea.
Well, fuck me then. I thought that you were about to say, oh, you sound pretty good considering you and your family have been on your deathbed all week. But nope, we're just circling right back to Donnie Appreciation Month. Cuties, I have been through the ringer. I feel like Grandpa Joe on my way to Willy Wonka's factory. I don't even know what that reference is, but I've been in bed for days.
Okay. You made it work, kind of.
Thank you.
With an explanation, which good jokes don't really need an explanation, but that one did.
Let the record show, Exhibit A, I'm here and I'm doing the best I can.
And we're recording this on International Women's Day, if that's anything.
Do you have anything that you would like to say?
I'll let a woman have the floor. I just will learn and listen.
I'm reclaiming my time.
My cousin Kayla, famously from the Instagram Lives, she sent me a Venmo request today for $5 that said International Women's Day. I have never closed a Venmo request so fast in my life.
Wow. Well, everyone take a page out of Kayla's book and request a Venmo from Donnie this week.
You'll also be blocked. Mm. Okay, so let's talk about it. This is week two of Donnie Appreciation Month. And I told you, Chelsea, I told you that the movies this year are good. So this one is no different than Red Eye. I mean, plot-wise it is, but in terms of quality.
Do you want to say what the title is?
I'll get there.
Okay.
Do you want to let me speak on my birthday
month? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was International Women's Day.
Well, that falls on Donnie Appreciation Month. Mm. If it takes a month, that means I get top billing. And then women are below me.
Well, okay? I guess that's just the patriarchy. If you get a month and we get one day, then fuck us. Let's just celebrate Donnie instead.
Well, it's not fair.
It's his story, not her story, is what Donnie's saying.
No.
It's Little Shop of Horrors. It's Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes, it is. But now that you ruined the reveal.
Okay, go
it's
ahead.
It's Little Shop of Horrors, cuties. Mm-hmm. I hope you're happy about it. So the movie came out December 19th, 1986. It was a Friday, and I was just 6 days away from celebrating my first Christmas. Walk Like an Egyptian was the number one song, and The Golden Child, starring Eddie Murphy, was top of the box office. Never saw it.
I'm not familiar with any of these references.
You do know Walk Like an Egyptian. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, for someone, well, that's not the right song,
that's
but you know the dance.
That's the Pee Wee Herman song. Tequila. No, I wasn't familiar just because I'm a spry chicken compared to the old crone I do this podcast with. I wasn't yet born. I was just a twinkle in my mother and father's eye at this
Beautiful.
Point.
Now, you make a lot of jokes about my age. It brings me to a question that I've been asking everyone I come in contact with. What do you consider middle age? And I'll tell you why I'm asking.
Okay.
Alan Cumming did an interview because The Traitors is like winding down, whatever. So mm-hmm. people are like, oh, are you excited about the Romy and Michelle sequel? Are you gonna do it? Whatever. And he said, I'm just excited that a movie about two middle-aged women is going to be like top of the box office. People are gonna run to see it. And I understand what he says, and I fully agree. However, Lisa Kudrow is 60. She's not middle anything. That woman is not gonna live to 120 years old.
Well, I mean, I think it's a range, right?
Yeah, but 60 is not part of that range. Middle age, who's living to 120?
I consider middle age, and I'm sure that I will change this as I continue aging, because I'm sure there was a point in my life where I was like, 35, might as well retire. And I'm about to turn 35 this year. So now I'm like, oh, 35 is basically your early 20s. Mm-hmm. I think middle age is like 45 to 65.
Okay. I think middle age is 30 to 45.
You think we are like well into our middle aged
years? I know a lot of people that die in their 60s. So if you do the math, middle age, we're there.
Well, Thank you for bringing us here.
That's me blowing a birthday.
Well, happy Monday, everyone. Donnie made us all face our mortality today. So for those tuning in for a fun, campy film about a talking plant, fuck you. The old people, we're all going to die.
And men die sooner. So if you're a man listening to this, your number's even lower.
Jesus.
So if today's episode makes you sign your will, please do us a favor and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. A 5-star review is the easiest way to help us grow our audience and this community before they all die.
Yeah, we need to keep them growing because they keep on dying.
So a little background information for this movie. It was written by Howard Ashman and Alan Menken. Do those names mean anything to you?
Not one.
I knew I wanted to embarrass you today. They are the duo that wrote Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and The Little Mermaid.
Oh my God, egg on my face. I'm mortified.
You should be. And it was based on the 1960 movie. I don't know if it was a comedy or a drama, but it was not a musical. There was a movie, Little Shop of Horrors, in the 1960s. And then they took that and made it a musical for Broadway. And then they took that and made it a movie. So now you know. It was directed by Frank Oz, who directed The Muppets Take Manhattan,
ooh,
Indian in the Cupboard, which, sorry, cuties, we can never cover it, Bowfinger, which we just talked about 2 weeks yeah. ago randomly, and The Stepford Wives remake, which is not a good movie, but it is top of the charts in my
brain. I love all of those movies.
They're all great films.
You know how I feel about Muppets. They are the top of comedy.
Me too. You know how calendars come back and you can use, like, oh, this year it's 2024, but if you have a calendar from 1992, you can use it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a calendar from 1992, but I used to have a calendar when I was in middle school, and it was all these movie posters recreated with the Muppets. So it was like Pork Fiction, things like that. You understand?
I understand.
So I really want it. However, the calendar's like $300 on eBay, and I can't use it this year anyway. So I need more money, and I need it to be a year where I can use it.
Well, when the stars align, you're going to be looking at that Pork Fiction for 1 month out of the year. I can't wait for you.
You know what I did when I was really cool as a kid?
I can't even imagine.
I had a calendar that I liked to use as a calendar, but then when the month was over, I would cut it off and use it as wall art.
You know who else did that?
Who?
Pepe, with his Playboy calendars that he had hanging in the bathroom of his office building.
See, he and I have a lot in common.
All the middle school boys in my family loved to visit Pepe at work, and they would disappear for minutes upon minutes in that bathroom. So it was a nice family tradition that once all the boys in our family hit puberty, you just got a nice little wank in at Pepe's office.
Wow. Anyway, moving on. Uh-huh. This movie cost $25 million to make, and it made $39 million. It was nominated for 2 Academy Awards. One was Best Visual Effects, and then the other one, Best Original Song, for Mean Green Mother from Outer Space. Now, this song was the first Oscar-nominated song to have profanity in it, and it was the first Oscar-nominated song to be sung by a villain.
Making herstory.
I know.
I do want to take this moment, speaking of profanity, nobody has given me the note, but I am the person who edits our podcast, and my potty mouth has been out of control lately, and I do apologize for that, but I would like to say, while some people have filler words like or you know, when I'm feeling sick or when my brain is not working the way it should, and God knows I'm only operating at like 40% capacity on any given day, my filler word is fuck. So I apologize, but also today, that is not the day I'm going to be making changes. So fuckity fuck, fuck, fuck.
Love that. Pursue, Donnie. My grandma, who just died recently, always used to say, oh, shit. just randomly. I was like, what's wrong? She said, nothing. And I'm like, okay, great. Roger Ebert gave it 3.5 stars and said, all the wonders of Little Shop of Horrors are accomplished with an offhand casual charm. The big laughs, when they come, are explosive, but the quiet romantic moments are allowed to have their coy innocence.
Roger, a big fan of this
musical. I know.
Musical.
Almost the perfect score. So there's 3 taglines this week. There were actually about 10, but I only picked 3. Okay. So your options this week are, let it suck you dry, move with it somewhere that's green, or chop it up like a dentist. The first tagline is, put a rare houseplant on your screen. It talks, it sings, it eats people.
Chop it up like a dentist.
Okay. 2 more. Don't feed the plants.
Okay. I fear that you've set me up because you know I don't like a long one, so you knew I was going to kill that one. So then are you luring me into a trap much like Audrey 2? I'm going to suck it till it's dry.
Okay. Which means this is the one you're moving in with. A singing plant, a daring hero, a sweet girl, a demented dentist.
Just a cast list and also perhaps a description of my current home. So that works.
Wonderful. A little bit more trivia. In 2020, it was announced that a remake was underway with Taron Egerton as Seymour, Scarlett Johansson as Audrey, Chris Evans as the dentist, and Billy Porter as the voice of the plant. But then COVID hit and the project, like, fizzled. Thank God. And then, in 1991, a children's cartoon was made after the success of the movie, but it only lasted 13 episodes.
Yeah, I can't imagine that this was intended for a child audience. And I have proof in the pudding. Another rendition of how I traumatized my daughters.
So you would say this is not appropriate for children?
I think it depends on the age range. Okay. I think that it's not appropriate for a 6- and a 4-year-old.
Okay. I hate when people ask me if kids can watch it. Because, like, me and my little sister, she was still young enough to be playing Barbies and also watched Scream. Like, I remember that I lied to her that Barbies was coming out with a Scream costume. So she was so excited that she could put her Barbie in a Scream costume, and then it didn't come out, obviously, because I was lying to her. And she, like, still brings that up to this day. Remember when you lied about Barbie having a Scream costume? So I know we were watching things, but I think that's all millennials, watching things earlier than we should have. Yeah. So I do such a bad job of telling people if their kids can watch it or not.
No, so I asked you, and I thought you did a good job. I just didn't listen to you, which was my mistake, because you told me that you felt like the songs were fine and it was campy enough, but that you thought that Audrey 2 would be a little bit scary. And so my youngest daughter is actually Donnie's daughter. She loves musicals. She cannot leave the house without at least 12 accessories, one of which being a tiara. She is really mad that this month is my husband's birthday month because she wants it to be her birthday month. Like, I might need to do a DNA test because even though we didn't know each other when she was born, I do think that she is Donnie's daughter. So naturally, I was trying to secretly watch this movie because Donnie had given me the heads up that this probably wouldn't be appropriate for my girls. But she heard that opening number and she was like all in. And then she saw Audrey and the makeup and the hair and the outfit and the voice. And she was like, "Be right back, mommy." And she came back with her little caboodle full of her makeup because she was inspired by this character, Audrey, which we'll unpack that in therapy at a later date. So she was all in. And then that scene where Audrey 2 starts like making little kissy sounds and they're trying to figure out like, what should we feed it? She was like getting closer and closer to the screen because she was like, "Oh, it's kissing. It's kissing." And this was the first time I had seen the movie, so I didn't know there was a potential jump scare coming. And when that plant snapped and tried to suck that man's blood, she screamed, threw her makeup in the air, and that was the end of that.
Oh, wow. Now, see, I did just tell you no as a flat-out rule, but I, when I was then watching, I was like, maybe they can watch the first half hour. Like, I don't think it's inappropriate for kids until the plant gets big and, like, truly starts eating people as a whole. Yeah. So I would have been wrong. Good thing I didn't say that.
Well, meanwhile, I think that part, had my oldest daughter seen it, this might be her favorite movie. So it's really hard to gauge what's appropriate for kids these days because
that's true.
God knows.
Well, cuties, if you're trying to decide if your kids should watch or not, we don't fucking know. Do what you want.
If you're getting advice from us, maybe talk to your therapist in general. Like what you're hearing? Head to patreon.com/IamTheCuteOne for more.
There you can find uncut, unedited, and unhinged video and audio footage of current episodes.
That's patreon.com/IamTheCuteOne. See you there.
So what character, if any, do you identify as?
I identify as Audrey 2. You can try to package me, sell me, make me profitable or marketable, but I will, at the end of the day, spend my time trying to eat terrible men.
I love that.
You're next, bitch.
I think I am Mr. Mushnick because when he finds out Seymour killed a man, he threatens to call the police, but not because Seymour did a bad thing and he wants him punished. He just wants him out of here so he can take the fame and money for himself.
Mr. Mushnick would also propose a rich person's Hunger Game where you can charge the poor people pay-per-view so that you can continue to get money from the poor people.
Still stand by it. I don't see a problem with that. Uh-huh. So now we're going to give you a 1-minute synopsis. And cuties, we bled Hollywood dry. They need a break. So one of our favorite cuties, Stephanie, will be doing our 1-minute recap today.
Seymour works at a flower shop with a girl that he has a crush on named Audrey. Audrey secretly shares in this crush. However, she is currently in an abusive relationship with a dentist. Anyway, Seymour one day stumbles upon a strange and unusual plant that nobody's ever seen before, and he calls it Audrey too. And so, as stories naturally do, this folds out to be a serial killer plant, a mean green mother from outer space, and hilarity, moral ambiguity, and romance, and wonderful musical numbers ensue.
Thank you, Stephanie.
That was lovely. Let's get into this movie. So, on the 23rd day of the month of September, the human race suddenly encountered a deadly threat to its very existence, and this terrifying enemy surfaced, as much enemies often do, in the seemingly unlikeliest of places, Mushnick's Flower Shop. Now, Chelsea, this is where I want you to tell me your first impressions from the first song, and I guess not even first impressions, just tell me how you thought about the movie. But also, when you tell me how you felt about the movie, I want to know, when this song started, was this thumbs up for you or thumbs down? Did you feel like you were in a good place, or did you feel like I set you up? But before you speak, I do want to tell you there is a right answer, because Tisha Campbell and Tashina Arnold from Martin can do no wrong. The fact that they are two of the three of these urchins that are in the whole movie, like, it is very much their movie and everything else is just happening around them. And this is some of the best music I've ever heard in a musical. Certainly some of the best music you've ever heard in a musical. So there is a right answer, and I'd like you to give me whichever one you got.
Well, Donnie, I know that you and the cuties were very much rooting for me to like this movie, but I do not like this movie. I love it. I love it! I love this movie, Donnie. I think this might be a contender for top movie of 2024 for me.
Wow!
I loved this movie.
I'm so proud.
And I think
happy.
It did come from this first scene. Mm. I loved the set. I loved the campiness. I loved the vibes. I went into this movie completely blind because I gasped when I saw that the dad from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was in it.
Are you not face blind anymore?
Donnie, I told you I was working on it, and I recognized so many people in this movie.
Wow. You know who the dentist is?
Oh, yeah. Of course I know who the dentist is.
Wait, who is the dentist?
Steve Martin.
Oh, wow.
Steve Martin, Bill Murray.
Yeah.
But we are also in my SNL wheelhouse. Mm.
This is still, you know, a step away from what I'm used to. So it doesn't matter how you know him, as long as you know
Look
him.
At me. Look at me go.
Mushnick's Flowers is staffed by quite the cast of characters. First, we have Mr. Mushnick, the grumpy and stingy owner, Seymour, the clumsy nerd who breaks more flower pots than he sells, and Audrey, the shy and awkward woman who has the fashion for leopard print and black eyes. The thing they all have in common is they'd do anything to get out of Skid Row. Now, any of these people could say they have a crazy coworker, but if I were to think about all the jobs I've had, because I am clearly the crazy coworker that people like talk about. Uh-huh. But if I think about where I had the crazy coworkers, where I actually have stories about the people I worked with, it would be Burger King when I was 15 years old. Because, first of all, there was a girl with a second pinky that worked drive through. So imagine that is who gave you your food. And then and then also, there was a boy about the same age as me. This is when I was fat with Elvis hair and glasses. And this boy had those things as well. However, this boy had some needs that were special.
Donnie.
And one time he was in the ball pit with his shoes off, picking lint from between his toes. A customer complained to the manager and said, "The fat boy with glasses is in there picking his toes in the ball pit." And I got written up, Chelsea.
You know, I was worried at the start of that story, but it really brought me joy by the end. Oh, that's marvelous.
Do what you have to do. Take your time. Be by yourself. Pick limp from between your toes. Do what you have to do. But the fact that the manager heard that description, with both of us matching that description, and still thought, this is something Donnie would do.
Case closed. Remarkable.
So that's Burger King on Street Road in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, ladies and gentlemen.
I once worked with a woman. This was the job that I had in between college and grad school, where I worked at this really small clothing boutique. And I worked with this middle-aged, one might even say, woman who was just a crazy person, would often come in very incoherent, rambling, always late. And she was always talking about her two sons. One son was this perfect baby angel sent from the heavens, and her oldest son was this terrible gremlin person who was evil and bad and always making poor choices and just couldn't get his life together. And I worked with this woman for about 8 months until one night I went out with Dr. Bald and his friends, and one of his friends, who I knew quite well, said, "Hey, Chelsea, I heard you work with my mom." Mm. And it was then when all of those stories came clicking into place, and Dr. Bald's best friend was the terrible son of my crazy-ass coworker. And so at that point, I knew way too much about him and his life and his choices. It was also at that point when I learned that my coworker was a pathological liar, because most of what she had told me had never even happened.
Well, there's two sides to every story, Chelsea. Sounds like you're picking the man side in this on International Women's
Shame
Day.
Shame on me. Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's internalized misogyny.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Cuties, you know I cannot see a movie without pretending I'm in it, and now it's your turn. Have you ever tried to use the Force when no one's looking, or thought about what superheroes would win in a fight? Then you'll want to stop what you're doing, unless you're driving, and visit Sideshow.com. Your eyes do not deceive you. They have a life-size, impeccably detailed replica of the child from Star Wars The Mandalorian.
Now, I don't mean to brag, but Sideshow did send me the child. I call him Baby Yoda. I have since learned that is not his name, but he is my son now, so I will be continuing to call him as such. And we have been playing dress up, having photo shoots, and just having a grand old time. But if that one doesn't speak to you, how about a movie-accurate statue of Christopher Reeve as Superman?
They got that too.
But just wait until you see the incredibly lifelike figures of Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
We are thrilled to have Sideshow sponsoring our podcast today. They offer a wide selection of premium figures, statues, and fine art from the worlds of Star Wars, DC, Marvel, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, and so much more.
These limited edition, handcrafted, officially licensed collectibles bring pop culture's biggest icons to life in your home.
And here is the best part. You can get an exclusive $50 off your first order of $200 or more. It's a great opportunity for new customers to dive into the world of high-quality collectibles. Or you can gift it to that super geek in your life.
Perhaps that person in your life that you know would cringe when they hear that I've been letting my daughter sleep with my Baby Yoda. And again, that I refuse to stop calling it Baby Yoda.
Plus, shopping at Sideshow earns you 5% back in Sideshow rewards, meaning for every $100 spent, you get $5 back in rewards that can be used on future purchases. While geeking out is its own reward, your collection goes farther with Sideshow. So, what are you waiting for? Visit Sideshow.com, promo code CUTEONE right now, and get ready to let your geek side show.
Oh, that's clever. Sideshow. Like Sideshow.com? I get it.
You told us that your daughter loved Audrey enough to style her makeup after her. tell me your thoughts about her. Because I thought the voice would steer you away and I would get angry texts about how much you hate her and this movie.
No, I really liked Audrey. I found her to be a compelling character. I found her multifaceted, three-dimensional, really fleshed out. And I loved the wardrobe.
As you should.
I'm worried about doing this episode because usually our dynamic is one of us loves something, the other one hates something. I truly love this movie.
Well, I still hate you, so that dynamic is still available for everyone to hear.
Okay,
good. Yes, she kills the camp, and I think that is what makes the movie so lovable, because we do get to dark places, even besides a plant eating people. Like, this woman is abused, but
right.
It still feels like a children's movie, kind of. So I think it makes things easier to swallow, and then because of that you're like immersed in this world and really taking it in, because it feels safe even though it isn't.
Well, I feel like it's such a fine needle to thread, because you have to make it campy and funny without making it seem like you're making fun of the domestic violence piece. And I never felt like that. I never felt like they were diminishing or downplaying. Everybody was very supportive of her, and she was still a really lovable character you were rooting for, but then you weren't feeling depressed about it. It was also like, oh, but what a silly, funny movie.
Now, I'll tell you, when I saw it on Broadway, Tammy Blanchard, do you know who that is? Did you see The Invitation?
Yes.
The main woman in that.
Okay, okay.
Oh, she pictured her face, folks. Mm-hmm. Now, what face she pictured, we
God
don't know.
God knows, but also I had to say okay, okay, before you gave away the ending of that movie. Don't.
Why not?
Because why are we spoiling a movie that we won't be able to cover for 5 more years?
Because it came out 5 years ago. If people didn't see it yet, that's on you.
No.
There's a statutory, what is it called? A statute of limitations
statutory.
On spoilers.
Let's not go throwing around statutory.
Oh my God. No, I will not be vilified for telling you how a movie that came out 5 years ago ended. And came out before COVID. So not only was it a 5-year-old movie, you had nothing to do for 365 days. You could have been watching The Invitation on Hulu. But I won't tell you how it
ends. Thank you. I'm just suggesting that maybe we don't go out of our way to spoil the end of movies.
No, it's not out of my way. It was in conversation. Now, if right now I just said, oh, did you ever see Terminator 2? And told you how that ends, that would be out of my way.
Well, yeah, but it would also be about Terminator 2. Tell me about Tammy Blanchard.
So she played Audrey on Broadway. First of all, she can't sing for beans. Second of all, because she is like a real actress, like from movies and dark stuff and all these things, like I think she's Shakespearean trained. She played Audrey with such trauma that like I understood what she was doing. But like the whole time, all she did was like flinch when people got near her, and like you could tell she was like disassociating, and like the acting choices were great. I do get what you're doing, but when everyone else is doing things similar to the movie, it is a very disjointed production.
And I did just Google Tammy Blanchard, and this is not in any way, shape, or form the woman I was picturing, but I do know who you're talking about
now. Oh, wait. What Invitation movie did you watch? Just the dinner party one, right? Not
yes.
The... I'm just going to do it. Not the vampire one.
No, no, no.
Okay. There's an Invitation movie. Well, that's the twist.
Okay. Well, now I won't watch that one. And you know I love vampire movies. That's so
Well, no,
mean.
The trailer spoiled it, though, too.
Okay.
That's not my fault. That's marketing. Anyway, besides those acting choices, her voice I didn't love when she did it on Broadway. She has a deeper voice, and it ruined it for me. It's like, Mr. Mushnick. Oh.
Is it tradition that Audrey's character go up that octave?
I think because that woman played her so much, like in Broadway and in the movie and then later, I think everyone else just copies it.
That's not that woman's real voice.
I don't think so.
But I find that so impressive when people can change their voice so much. Not to bring it to a Big Bang Theory place, but Bernadette on the Big Bang Theory, whenever she does an interview with her regular voice, I'm shocked every single time. Also Big Bang Theory related, did you know that they're coming out with a new Big Bang Theory show?
I did know that.
I might have to talk about it on a TGIF episode. I am thrilled. Anywho, I just found it so impressive that that woman could sing in that voice too. And like really belt it. Mm. If that's not her true voice, that's even more impressive.
There's a community theater doing Little Shop of Horrors in DC, and I might visit you just so I can go. You don't even have to come with me.
I would see it.
Okay, great. Well, then we're going. It's at the Ford Theater. I think that's where Abraham Lincoln was shot.
Okay. Well, I won't wear my top hat that night.
And I won't sit in the box. After another typical shift of making no money, Mr. Mushnick decides it's time for a permanent close. But Seymour has other ideas. It's time to take the shop in a new direction. So he introduces him to a strange and interesting new plan he's been raising, Audrey 2.
Naming it Audrey 2. It's odd, is it not?
I think, yes, it is.
Like, that would be a red flag for me. That would be an oopsie kitty on the
permit. Especially because it was a surprise to Audrey. Like, if when he first brought it in, they were like, oh, what should we name it? And then he looked at her and said, Audrey. Or, like, if I found a cat with one eyeball and was like, Chelsea, guess what I named it? then it makes sense.
If I found a stray dog picking lint out of its toes, say, oh, well, I know who that is. Donnie.
Exactly, exactly. But he had this for quite some time. And for him to say, oh, let me show you this. It's Audrey too. And then she was shocked by that name reveal. That is troubling. Because what else you got in that basement you live in?
Truly. And this was also before the point in time when I did realize that this was kind of like a subversive movie in many ways, because it does give like Sesame Street vibes a little bit, like in terms of the set. Yeah. Again, I know it's not meant for kids, but I was still at this point trying to like figure out the lay of the land. So when this man named this plant Audrey 2 and then sings a song about Audrey 2 where he says, my God, how I missed you. Oh, pod, how you teased. Now, please grow for me is one of the lines. Now, of course, that was not a very good reading. I don't think I'm going to be winning any slam poetry recitals anytime soon, but that could be a Viagra commercial jingle.
No, it really could.
When he's worried about what is this plant going to eat, I was worried he was going to stick something in that thing.
I mean, I'm sure there is a version of that out there somewhere. I've never seen it. But you know who sings this song really good? Me. At karaoke, it's a go-to. I have to tell you. I always wanted to play Seymour, but my dad told me I didn't look nerdy enough. You can fuck right off.
Well, that was sweet of your dad to look at his son, who he called the dog face boy, and say that you didn't look nerdy enough. It's a nice departure. He keeps
Not
us on our toes.
That was my dream
keeps
role.
Us guessing.
I have about six notes, and those who know music, six notes is not a big range. And I have about six notes that I can sing fairly well. And Seymour, all of his songs are in those six notes. So I truly have always wanted to play Seymour. So when my father said, you can't even do that, I wanted to get out of Skid Row. And that Skid Row is Burger King on Street Road in Bensalem, PA.
Well, I think you can do anything you set your mind to. And if Hugh Jackman has taught us nothing, it's that people don't have to sing to be in musicals these days.
Well, that's
I think that you could definitely play Seymour. I'm going to realize that dream for you one day.
Thank you. I will have to wear a wig, though. Nobody wants a bald Seymour. And I speak for baldies when I say that. So when they put it in the window, business booms. And I can't tell these people how to live, but I don't think I've ever seen a window display that made me go into a store. Like, I either want to shop there or I don't. You could put, I don't know, you could put...
What about the bartenders from Boxers in a window?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, the Boxers sucking each other off in the windows of Macy's isn't going to make me go in and buy a necklace from the jewelry department. I'll just take my picture of the window and keep walking.
Head on into Pepe's bathroom and finish yourself off.
Exactly. Now, it never got me to go in the store, but I was always jealous of the kids that got picked to be living mannequins. And, like, not employees of the store, just, like, these cool teenagers that got picked to be in the window of, like, Delia.
So they just had to stay in the window for, like, an 8-hour shift?
No, just for, like, an hour at a time.
Oh, I would go crazy.
That's probably true.
Well, good for them.
Yeah. I was always jealous of them. The closest I ever got was when my church had a living nativity and I had to be a shepherd and just stand there with a fake sheep while a spotlight shone on me So my silhouette was on the church wall.
I was Mary.
In a living silhouette?
Not in a living silhouette, oh. But for my preschool performance of the nativity scene, I was Mary.
We did them every year. So I was shepherd mostly. I was a wise man once, but that year I had to speak like Forrest Gump. That was a weird twist. And then one year I was Joseph.
Huh. Did Forrest Gump just come out? Were they feeling inspired? Or was this just a warning sign for things to come with Shrimp Company?
There's like these Christian bookstores that sell musicals. Mm-hmm. So we would always do one of those. And the one year we did a Christmas themed one where there was a Forrest Gump character.
It's so wild for an organization so against the LGBTQIA plus community. Christianity is so gay.
I know. Huh. Well, straight men in general are so gay. No one's more obsessed with another man's dick than a straight man. Put that on my tombstone.
Amen.
When Audrey 2 collapses after a long day in the window and proves to be just as unhealthy as Audrey 1, it's Seymour's job to work an overnight and figure out what will help. And alarmingly, it is blood. And after a few sucks on Seymour's fingers, Audrey 2 blossoms. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about, no, it was just very last week. We talked about going above and beyond for a job, but I think this takes the cake. Like, when you are feeding plants blood, it makes being called an asshole by an angry couple seem like child's play.
Yeah, it's troubling, to say the least. I feel like there could definitely be some unionizing happening at Mr. what's his name? Mushbrain's shop. Potato, potato. This guy is also doing presumably unpaid, off-the-clock promotion on local radio stations about this plant for the store. And I found this radio scene with the wink. I found it troubling for many reasons, but then I had to take a good, long, hard look in the mirror. And Donnie, I had a scary revelation. Do you think we are winks? Like, is this show wink adjacent? All we need is a foghorn, and I feel like we're halfway there.
Yeah, I was going to say we don't play other characters, but then there is the one-minute synopsis.
Yeah. Like, I feel like, you know, you hate in others what you might see in yourselves. Game recognized game. Ooga! Like, we are so close to being a wink. We're teetering.
My twink days are over. I've evolved into just wink. And when I was watching it, I was like, maybe I need to bring that energy to the show. But you've pointed out, we already do.
Yeah, I think we're there. I don't think we need to try any harder. Perhaps that's the problem.
Audrey daydreams of living with Seymour somewhere that's green, having Tupperware parties and eating frozen dinners while watching I Love Lucy with her bowl cut daughter before going to sleep at 9:15. Chelsea, I know she is not living in luxury currently, but I do need her to have higher standards for her future.
Yes, certainly. Her dream is to be a pioneer of the MLM movement and be a patsy for the patriarchy. There is a line in this song where she says, "He's father, he knows best." I've seen this man try to carry pottery. I don't think that we should be following him as the sturdy leader of our family, but you do you, baby boo.
Whatever makes you happy. It is International Women's Day when we're recording this, after all.
Feminism is letting women do whatever they want, even if it means dating Seymour.
That's true. She had two kids. I would have had two abortions. You don't want any child that Seymour is going to bring into this world to be a child of yours. Chelsea, please.
Well, let this be a reminder to the cuties to go out there and vote so that our reproductive rights are not taken away. Because if not, Seymour might be a baby daddy. And that's the scariest thing of all.
So, like I said, Audrey's real life is far from perfect, as her masochistic boyfriend Orville controls her life while having the time of his as a dentist, where he gets to torture people and sniff nitrous oxide.
Okay, this reveal, again, I went in blind. I screamed when I saw that it was Steve Martin. Uh-huh. And this was the point of the movie where I thought I loved it, but him playing a bad boy dentist doing like a purposely bad greaser impression solidified it for me. This is the moment I was like, oh, I get this movie. I love it. And I feel like I have had a revelation. I had an aha light bulb moment about musicals. I think I do like musicals. However, I think it has to be a specific kind. And so I want you to put this into your little brain catalog for when we do finally see a Broadway play together, because I think campy musicals work for me because singing is part of it. Uh-huh. In my mind, like, it's part of the chaos, it's part of the humor, it's part of the silliness. Like, Steve Martin revving his little engine on his way to be a big bad dentist, that is fucking hilarious, and I loved it. I think it's when the singing is serious that it takes me out of it, because it's like you're starving to death begging for bread. You shouldn't have the energy to sing.
Just say you don't like Les Mis, because you like Dreamgirls.
I'm trying to throw you a bone here. Just take the scraps, you bitch. Because think about it. Think of my track record. I liked High School Musical. I made fun of it relentlessly, but it was campy. It was silly. It knew what it was doing. I did not like Glee because it didn't lean into the camp and it tried to be something it wasn't. The episodes I liked of Glee were the episodes where they fully were like, oh, we're a joke and we know it.
Okay.
So I'm just giving you some helpful hints because I do want my first Broadway performance to be a success.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. I do think you're wrong, but that's okay. I'm not going to argue with a crazy person. I will just give you what you're asking for, because then there won't be any pushback. Whereas if I think I know you because you like Dreamgirls, if I tried to go rogue, then you're just going to push back no matter what. We've heard about you putting on ski shoes.
It could be that I experience the magic of Broadway and all of a sudden I'm a Broadway girl. Mm. But I just think for that first performance, you know, you're not going to hit somebody with crack the first time. You're going to say, hey, you want to smoke a little reefer?
Well, when you put it
like
that.
Didn't you take DARE? Gateway drugs, Donnie. Gateway drugs.
I'm familiar. So that one that I want Sloan and you and I to go to about hell, that's steampunk themed. You don't think that's a good first show?
The steampunk element worries me. And so it also worries me that we're rounding out Donnie Appreciation Month with, what's it?
Sucker Punch.
I was going to call it Thumb Puncher. Sucker Punch, which the DMs are very split. I have been getting half, oh my God, you're going to love it, and half, this is going to be your least favorite movie of all time. So let's just see how Sucker Punch turns out, and then we'll go from there.
I'd hate to tell you right now, half your DMs are filled with idiots. So Orville being a dentist is, like, good for the kind of sick human he is, because he gets to take out his abusive tendencies in his patients. I think the job that suits me best for my worst traits would be a tabloid reporter. I've always dreamed of it.
I think you would be really good at that.
Thank you.
I feel like the job that I'm made for based on my worst traits is this. My inability to shut up, my delusions of grandeur, my constant need to be on a soapbox preaching my beliefs. This really gives me a platform to spout some nonsense. And I don't think that that's to any benefit to anyone but me.
You're onto something, but you're good at it.
Thank
just
you.
Like this dentist guy.
And just like the wink. Ooga!
Meanwhile, Seymour is having some fun now as he feeds Audrey to enough of his blood to grow even more. Long gone are the days of being stored in a coffee tin. Audrey 2 is now the size of a refrigerator. But Tui has gotten so big that Seymour can't appease him with blood in his own veins. He needs more. And why not start with Audrey's boyfriend? What does it say about me? Is it wrong that within 30 seconds I thought of 5 people who I'd feed to this plant if he said that?
Is it wrong? Yes. What does it say about you? I think we've known that for quite some time, Donnie. You are a monster. Am I on the list?
No.
Okay. Are these people in your real life?
Some of them.
Okay. Yikes.
Yeah, if it was my job to keep this plant alive and my fame and livelihood depended on it, and he said, I need to eat somebody, then I would say, well, that's the circle of life. Let's get you fed.
I have a question, though, about Audrey 2,
sure.
Or Tui, as he soon becomes known as. In the play, how does this work? Like, is it one person playing a plant in, like, a Disney World Mickey Mouse costume? Is it like animatronic? Like, how do they make this plant talk and sing and dance and grow bigger?
Depending on the budget, it usually is very similar to what you're seeing here. Like, it is usually like one person, and you don't see the people. It's not like
Lion King.
Oh yeah, it's not like Lion King. Okay. Like, you don't see the people with the puppets. Someone's controlling the mouth, and then someone's controlling like the vines and stuff, and then someone else not related to the puppeteers is like off stage with a microphone.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so, equipped with a gun, Seymour heads to the dentist's office to pick up dinner for Audrey, too. But when Orville overdoses on laughing gas, Seymour has no need for the gun. Dinner is served. And with Orville out of the picture, Seymour tells Audrey she's a nice person who deserves a nice man. A nice man like him. And suddenly, Seymour... Him and Audrey are official.
I hate to be agreeing with your dad after that little preview.
No, but... you know what? That wasn't me trying. That was me being one of the three women. If I would have done it as Seymour, okay. You would have been shook. Okay. It would have ended your day.
Okay. I believe you. I'm going to choose to believe you on this fine Donnie Appreciation Month.
Chelsea, I have to be real. As someone terrified that I will be put in prison one day for a misunderstanding, I think Audrey is stupid for this. Your boyfriend, who is known to be abusive, goes missing and you start dating someone else within 24 hours. Like, even if she is innocent, it doesn't look like she is.
Yeah. I'm once again begging you to watch that American Nightmare documentary, but okay. I'll leave that where it is.
I'll follow up in April. It's not happening in March.
Yeah, this was really dumb. But also, buckle up. Let me climb up on that soapbox. I would like to now give my thoughts on what kind of guy Seymour is.
No.
Spoiler alert. It's another type of man I hate. Are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Hey, I made it this far into the recording without really talking shit about anything. So.
That's true. I should have known. But that's what I mean. That is just who you are. And I either have to accept it or not. But if I don't, it's still going to happen. So every time I can't act surprised.
A captive audience is still an audience. People are still seated in the auditorium if they're handcuffed to the chairs.
Now, really quick. If I were to kidnap someone, that is what I would just perform for them.
That is fucking horrifying. If I was kidnapped and the blindfold was ripped off me and it was revealed to be you, and you're like, and for my first performance, I'm going to show you why my dad is wrong, and I could totally pull off scene.
And then I would make you do duets with me too. And then I open a curtain and there's wax people with arms that clap for us.
That is so scary. I feel like you and I could actually write a campy horror movie about this. And we would have to have you perform as the villain. Instead of she puts the lotion in the basket, it's like, suddenly Seymour.
Wait, can I tell you?
What?
I don't even know how my brain connected that. Oh, it's writing campy horror. I had an idea for a one-man show that I wanted to do off-Broadway so bad. Still might happen. But I wanted to be a girl who was ageless because a spell was put on me when I was little. Uh-huh. And because I was ageless, I was a star from the 1920s until now, like a child star all these years. And it was me like talking about what my career was during these times and doing like a performance from it. So it'd me doing like a 1920s act and then me doing like a Shirley Temple thing and then me doing like a sitcom star, whatever. And then at the end, I decide that I don't want to live anymore because I've already been the best I can be. Life's only going to get worse. So then I do a spell. And I'm exercised on stage at the end, and I die, and that's how it ends.
It has tinges of that Blake Lively movie.
Which one?
Where she's immortal.
Age of Adeline. Beautiful film. Terrible movie. Beautiful film.
But it's 10 steps crazier. I do have follow-up questions. I know we might not have time today, but I guess my only follow-up question for now is, is society aware that she's timeless, or she finds her way back into the spotlight during every era? Like, is there any point where people catch on?
No.
Okay.
It's just me.
So we're just completely starting off from the top. We're going to just blatantly ignore glaring plot holes. We're just
going for it.
No, it's
not a plot hole. People just say, like, oh my God, she looks just like Shirley Temple. But guess what, baby? I am Shirley Temple. But now I'm also on Full House.
Okay.
Tell me about Seymour.
Okay, thank you for asking, Donnie. So there's this scene where when they're getting together, he's like, hey, you're a girl I respect. Now just wipe off that makeup, baby doll. Mm-hmm. This is a man who 100% would throw your past in your face during a fight. He's going to pretend that he's fine with what you had to do to survive. He's going to pretend that everything before him was totally fine, and then he rescued you. He got you out of that situation, and now he gave you a better life. And he even says at one point, I purified you. Ugh. Like, this guy is an undercover douchebag. And now is an opportunity that I would like to take to rant about a new type of douchebag that seems to be emerging in our society. There is this new era of a misogynistic asshole who, it's like a wolf in sheep's clothing type of situation. They wear nail polish. They might even wear a little bit of lip gloss or earrings. They took one feminism 101 course. They've gone to enough therapy that they can, like, weaponize therapeutic talk to convince you that, you know, they're deeply feeling. And they still hate women. It's just more insidious. And I feel like Seymour is the blueprint for this type of guy. If he hasn't gotten off Skid Row enough to be able to, like, get an Instagram filter or a podcast, but, like, he is on his way. And I just think that Audrey needs to keep her eyes peeled.
You know what? I pushed back in the beginning, but I do agree with you. The purified you part is what your thesis statement should have been. Maybe it was your thesis statement, because that's when you won me over. I do want to loop back around and talk about this modern era of the Seymours, mm-hmm. because maybe I'm MAGA. Maybe I'm Marjorie Taylor Greene in disguise. Uh-huh. I don't know. But I do believe in gender norms. And with that said, if a man is wearing nail polish and a dangly earring, he better be sucking dicks. And if he's not, I'm going to try to make him do it.
Well, that is your God-given right as a man about town.
Yeah.
But I will say, it's just really funny because, and I'm thinking of, like, obviously Tom Sandoval comes to mind, but there's a lot of, like, podcasters, and I see these people come up on my feed where they're preaching about, like, the alpha male and getting women back to their place, and women are disrupting society for doing X, Y, and Z. And it's like, baby boy, if right. you want to wear lip gloss, I am totally here for that. That's a lovely shade on you. But don't tell me I need to get back into the kitchen, because number one, I might burn your house down. And number two, look in the mirror. You can't benefit from the expansion of gender norms and then get mad because you no longer have, like, a mommy to marry who's going to take care of you.
Yes, agreed. And I want to backtrack a little. When I say I believe in gender norms, I truly only mean aesthetically.
It doesn't make it better, but
you do not need to be in the kitchen. You can be in the boardroom. You can be on the pole. You can be flying a plane, but you better have long hair. And I'd prefer you to be in a dress.
And with that, happy National Women's Appreciation Day, or whatever this day they gave us while they strip us of our rights. It's March 8th. Girl power. We can be whoever we want to be, just as long as it pleases Donnie.
Oh, my God. Okay, so bringing the Dennis body back to the flower shop to chop it up was perhaps not the best plan of action, because Mr. Mushnick witnesses it. What he doesn't witness is Tui being fed. So when Mushnick tells Seymour he saw it all and will go to the police, Audrey too decides it's time for dessert and he eats them. But when he still demands more food, Seymour has a meltdown. He can't let Tui run his life anymore. So he plans to elope with Audrey and run away first thing in the morning. But the piss poor part of that planning is that there's still a full 24 hours until their escape. So Tui, which I must remind you, cuties, is a plant, uses a payphone and invites Audrey 1 to the store, where he attempts to eat her as well. Were you scared?
No, I wasn't scared.
Should have been.
I mean, it would have been a big twist if they killed off Audrey, because she was clearly the one we were rooting for.
So, spoiler alert, on stage and in the original ending of this movie, but it tested poorly with test audiences, obviously, he does eat Audrey. So then Seymour goes inside the plant to hack it up from the inside, but the plant just eats him, and he also kills Seymour. And then it takes over the world.
Whoa. So a failed Jonah the whale situation.
Yeah. Wait, is that what Jonah the whale is about? He doesn't try to kill it from the inside.
No, but he gets swallowed.
Oh, yeah. But that's just because he sinned.
Oh, of course. He deserved it. He was a big old sinner.
No, even worse. Let me put my Bible hat on for a second. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that he sinned. He was supposed to spread the word of the Lord to the sinners. And he judged them so much. Once he found out they butt-fucked, he's like, I'm not going there. So then God was like, well, I'll teach you. Get in the whale.
You know what? That part of the story completely left my brain. And it's so wild that that's a really well-known Bible story. And clearly no Christians have taken anything away from the message that they shouldn't be judging.
Maybe I need to do that production of Go, Go, Jonah at more theaters. With Audrey saved, she and Seymour begin singing about how much they love each other again when a businessman offers a large sum of money to take clippings of Audrey to and get them into every house in the country. Seymour realizes it was Tui's plan all along to take over the world. That's right. Audrey 2 is a mean, green mother from outer space. And now only he or Seymour can get out of this alive. Or maybe neither, when Seymour electrocutes Audrey 2 and the building collapses on both of them. Just kidding, Seymour is alive. And he and Audrey get the future Audrey always dreamt of, except for the unplanned little Audrey 3 in the garden.
Dun, dun,
wow,
dun.
I was going to do it, but you did it. See, you're prepared already for when I kidnap you.
Oh, God. Cuties, if I go missing, you know that I do like to post exactly 97 times per day on my Instagram stories. If that number starts to drop, you need to check for the basements and find the ones with good acoustics, because Donnie's got me tied up somewhere. Well, Donnie, I have to say, 50%. Ooh. We're halfway there. We've covered two movies so far. You did promise me a good Donnie Appreciation Month, and thus far, I'm cautiously optimistic.
The next one you'll definitely like. There's like nothing to not like about it. Sucker Punch, I am nervous about.
Final thoughts. So if we were to bring this movie, Little Shop of Horrors, to present day, who would you cast or what would you want the plot to a sequel to be?
Okay, I just want a remake of this movie. I don't want the original stage ending, and I don't want the rumored Chris Evans cast. Like, keep Scarlett Johansson out of it.
Wait, let me go first, because I did a recast, and this is your month after all. I want you to end with a high note, because I don't think you're going to like mine.
Okay.
I tried really hard, though. I am really trying to play the game this week. So,
thank you.
Bring Steve Martin back as the shop owner as a callback.
Okay. Like it already.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Seymour.
I'm into it.
Amanda Seyfried as Audrey.
Yeah.
Okay, this is where we're going to have a gender bender situation. So Audrey is a bisexual queen. We're going to have Renee Rapp as the dentist. And her wardrobe is going to be like, think Sandy at the Funhouse in Greece.
Okay.
And then I want Alan Cummings with his traitor's energy as Bill Murray's character. Okay. And then I want Kenan Thompson as Audrey too.
You had me until Kenan.
I thought that's where I would lose you.
Yeah. And I love Kenan. Maybe not as Audrey, too.
Okay.
But very good job. 98%. I said Renee Rapp as Audrey.
Okay.
And Timothy Chalamet as Seymour. And Amber Riley, you may know her as Mercedes from Glee, yes, as the plant.
I like that. And then final thoughts. What about this movie aged well and what aged like Blockbuster?
I think the movie is weird enough where it can never really age. Mm-hmm. Like, it is fine no matter what. Unless aliens come to Earth and are like, this is problematic. We don't look like plants.
This is a stereotype based in hate.
Until then, I think like 90% of the movie still works wonderfully. There are some stereotypes that don't. Like, some of the times the urchins are a little stereotyped. And sometimes they're not. But sometimes they are. However, in defense of that stereotype is I've seen some high school performances where it's white girls, and I never fucking want to see that again. So let's keep these as black women, but maybe once they're cast, then we can change some lines or, like, line delivery. Also, I can't place my finger fully on why the Chinatown segment was problematic, but I know it was.
Do you think it might have been when they sang Chang Da Do?
You know, you might have figured it out.
Overall, I mean, I can't say it enough. I loved it. I loved this movie.
I can't wait till the girls are old enough to really watch it.
I know. Maybe when you visit next in a couple months, they'll be old enough.
Those 3 months will really get them. So next week, Donnie Appreciation Month continues, where we will be covering Troop Beverly Hills. And the cuties in the DMs are thrilled. We will talk to you later. Love you like a sister. Bye.
Feed me.
Oh, no. Okay. Thank you for listening to I Am the Cute One. If you want more, head to patreon.com/IamTheCuteOne for uncut, unedited, and unhinged video and audio footage of current episodes, as well as even more bonus content.
And if you like what you heard, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and subscribe to our show. And to help us grow this community of chaotic cuties, share an episode with a friend you think would pass the vibe check.
And to see the madness, check out our YouTube channel, where video footage from all current episodes are posted weekly.
You can follow me at Real Donniewood on Instagram and all other social media platforms.
And if you want more of my personal brand of chaos, check me out at Oh No Chels.
Talk to you later. Love you like a sister.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.